As you could tell, I have little steam tonight, but I'll try my best to savor something meaningful and connected, obviously, to what's going on in the Parshiyos HaShavua. Our words of Torah that we're learning and any feelings of tshuva or getting closer to Hashem that we feel should be a great zchus for my brother Moshe Tzvi for the Simcha and for all Chole Yisrael wherever they find themselves, as well as a Shmir Yisira for all of the Jews who are fighting on behalf of the land of Israel and the Jews in France and the Jews really all over the world. It's Eis Tzar Yili Yaakov. It's a time of pain for the Jewish people. Pazik says, Eis Tzar Yili Yaakov Mimena Yeshua, and from it we'll be saved. And Tzadikim say that Mimenu also means that from it itself will sprout the Yeshua. At a time of Tzara, externally for the Jewish people, is only an external Tzara. Eis Tzar Yili Yaakov. It doesn't mean, and then from it we will be saved, like it'll go away. But rather, from the Tzara itself will sprout the Yeshua. So it should be Zocha that our words of Torah should somehow, in some small way, aid to that, add to the coming redemption of Mitzvah Hashem. There's a famous teaching. I'm not saying too many big chidushim here tonight. There's a famous teaching from the Maggid of Mezrich, the student of the Baal Shem Tov, which is recorded in the Sefer Avodas Yisrael, the Maggid of Koznitz. He writes, "Kvar hiktim lanu admorza." Our master and teacher, the Maggid of Mezrich, Rav Dov Berry Mezrich, already explained the pasuk, "Kol rodfei sigua bein ha-mitzarim," which literally means, like many of the verses of Eicha, speaking of the torment of the Jewish people, an eis tzar for the Jewish people, "Kol rodfei sigua bein ha-mitzarim." All those who chase after the Jewish people during the bein ha-mitzarim, he sigua, they will apprehend them. They'll be able to catch us. But we already know from the Maggid of Mezrich and really from even earlier sources that there's no such thing in the Torah, whether it be in Torah proper, in Nevi'im and Ksuvim, there's no such thing, Chas v'Shalom, HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't send down bad to the world. Any Nevuah, whether it be the curses of Parshas B'chukosai, or whether it be the most troubling Pesukim of Eicha, and many things in between, any of those things which seem on the outside to be a reflection of some sort of curse, some sort of negative energy that Hashem is sending down into the world, if understood properly, as was the case by certain tzaddikim, that when they would lain, so the whole olam there, the whole shul that would be listening to them lain would hear the words with a certain messianic tone. They wouldn't hear it in a way of suffering, they wouldn't hear it in a way of cursing, they wouldn't hear it in the way of the degradation of the Jewish people being dragged through the mud, through centuries and millennia of hardship, but they would hear it with the intended tone, which is the tone of illumination, of moving forward and bringing about times of redemption. Which means anybody who chases us will be able to grab us during the Bein HaMitzarim. The Hainu, what that really means on a deeper level, if we read the Psukim, with a deeper or a more concentrated eye, Hainu kol misha rodef laham lechas habore yachal hasig yoser daf kibyomim elu bein ha-mitzarim. Anybody who tries and who wants to coronate the king, to be mamlech HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to make God melech over ourselves, like a Rishon Salanter used to bemoan all the time that people have all types of kavanos when they say Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. Echad means Hashem is Echad, is Aleph, is one, over the Ches, over the this world and the seven Rakios, a total of eight different places, Mekomos, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu's presence is manifest, Dalet, over the four Ruchos, the four different directions. And Rabbi Yisrael Salanter used to moan, he used to say, you know, everyone's is being Mamlech HaKadosh Baruch Hu over the seven heavens, and over this entire earth, in all four directions, they just forget to be Mamlech HaKadosh Baruch over themselves. And this time period of the Beinu Mitzarim, which is the time of Kol Rodfei Sigua, it means that anybody who's a Rodef, Rodfeha, could be broken up into the words Rodef Ka. Anybody who chases after HaKadosh Baruch Hu during this time period of the Beinu Mitzarim, he's Sigua. They'll be able to be Mamlech Hashem in a way that maybe Hashem will open Himself up to us, Hashem will allow us more access to Him in a way that maybe during the rest of the year we don't have access. In times of Tzara, HaKadosh Baruch Hu maybe gives us a certain window of opportunity to be able to be mamlechim in a way that we don't have throughout the rest of the year. Da'af could be on elu b'inu mitzvah. L'mashal. To give you a parable, kikshasar yoshiv bebeso, when the officer, when the king, when the prince is sitting in his palace, is sitting in his house, as a masum mutelas asher lo kol ish ve'ish yachol lavo b'pima. When the king is sitting in his throne room, it's almost impossible to gain access, to have yichidus with the king. And even if you do, the entire nature of that meeting is one of servitude and one of emas hamalchus, which completely consumes the person, makes it impossible to have any relationship with the king. Over However, if the king or the officer leaves his throne room, he leaves his palace, and he goes out into the marketplace, kal v'chomer, if the king has been exiled from his throne room, and he's wandering around looking for somebody who recognizes him as the king, to be mamlechim, how much easier and how much more willing the king is to allow us to have a private audience with him, to be able to be mamlechim in a way that during the rest of the year, Hashem is felt as being melech ha'olam beyond needing our personal attention. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, kiviyachol obviously, HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't need our personal attention during the Beinu Mitzarim anymore. But what the Kozhnitzer Magid is submitting here from the Magid of Mezrich is that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu is out in the fields, when Hashem is out wandering around in the marketplaces because Shechinta Begalusa, the Shechinta is in Galus, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not in his palace, so that gives us an opportunity, that gives us an ability to come close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to feel His presence in a way that maybe the rest of the year we wish we had the opportunity to feel. There's a remarkable teaching from Rav Eliyahu Lopian. Rav Eliyahu Lopian was one of the great Balei Musar. He has a sefer called Lev Eliyahu. And my Svarim collection is in Eretz Yisrael, pretty much. I only have a few Svarim here because I rely on the fact that I can get most of the Svarim nowadays. You can get most of the Svarim online. But I was unable to find the actual. I wanted to read it inside with you, but we'll have to share the teaching outside, which is based on a Gemara in Bava Basra. This whole notion of a Jew's ability to feel HaKadosh Baruch Hu in an Eis Tzara, to feel Hashem Kol Rodfei Hisigua Bein HaMitzarim in a time of pressing. Bein HaMitzarim means between the straits, meaning in a narrow, confined space. When a person feels like the whole world is crashing in on him and the walls are incredible, thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you. When the world is crashing in, the walls are starting to crumble, and the person feels like ever narrowed in a tunnel, in that place the person is able to feel HaKadosh Baruch Hu's presence very strong. In a piece, in a mimer on Emuna, of Eliyahu Lopian explains that just as we find in the physical world things that are more necessary, Hashem made sure that there would be more of them. So, for example, a person can only live for a number of days if he doesn't have food. So therefore Hashem made food in abundance all over the world. You can find food. Things which are even more necessary, like water, is even more abundant than food. You can't even live a few days without water. Without water, a person will shrivel up very quickly. Air, something which a person can't live for a few seconds without, can't live for a few minutes without air. So therefore, Rav Eliyahu Lopian says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu put air in the whole world. Anywhere a person goes, anywhere you need, there's air everywhere. And the same thing is true, he said, of spiritual nutrition and spiritual necessities. The things which are more necessary are more available. And the thing which he says is compared to air, which is the most available and the most necessary thing, is emunah. A Jew's ability to access their own personal archives of emunah, which are downloaded from thousands and thousands of years, going back all the way to Avram Avinu and Sari Imenu, our ability to access those deep wellsprings of emunah is something which, just as a person who needs oxygen finds it readily available wherever they look. And Muna, the same thing, it's something which is available wherever a person looks. To the point that there's a Gemara, and he shares a remarkable teaching, which I'll share with you after we read the Gemara. The Gemara says, in source number 2, from the Gemara in Bava Basra on Daf Nun Ches Amud Aleph, the Gemara says, Hahu Gavra de Shama de Beisua de Ka'amr Lebarta. There was a certain guy who overheard his wife, Beisua. He overheard his wife. That she said to her daughter, Amai lo tzanias beisura. Why do you not guard yourself to be more tzanua when you're violating isurim? In other words, this girl presumably was involved in some sort of not so kosher relationship, and the mother was chastising her daughter, saying, why don't you exercise a bit more caution with your lewd behavior? The apple does not fall far from the tree. And the Gemara says, Hach itza, this woman, she was saying this to her daughter, saying, you should exercise more caution, be more tzanua when you're doing isurim in this way. Because Hach itza, because this wife, meaning talking about herself, Asara banai islay velesli me'avuch elachad. She said, because of the 10 children that I have with your father, only really one of them belongs to him. This is what the mother said. And the Gemara says, if you remember the first lines, Hahu gavra de shama de beisua. This guy happened to walk in as his wife was saying to her daughter, you know, you should exercise more caution with your behavior, because after all, I've been sneaking around for all these years. I have 10 children from your father. Only one of them does he doesn't even realize. Only one of them is really his kids, is his child. And the father overheard this. And the Gemara says that kishachiv, when he died, and they found in his will, so Amar Lahu kol nichse l'chad bara. He says, all of my belongings go to my one child. Because he only had one child that really was zochet to the inheritance. All of my nechasim should go to this one child. Lo yada lahay minayhu. So they didn't know which child was the kid. There was no way for them to know. They didn't know. Asu l'kamei de Rav Bana. They came to Rav Bana. Amar Lahu, so he said to the 10 children, these 10 children came to Rav Bana, and he said to them, you know what you should do? I'll tell you what you should do. Zilu chavutu kivra da'avucham. Go and beat. Take sticks and go beat the kever of your father until he will come up from his grave, and he will reveal which of the children is really his son. Because now he's in the Olam Emes, he'll be able to see. So go and beat your father's kever with sticks, and then you'll be able to see and he'll reveal to you which of you is actually the real child. Lachu hai minaychu, shavka azlu kulhu. So what happened? All of the children went, and they beat on the father's kever. Hau davrei, havelo azl. But the one who is his son didn't go, and he didn't beat the kever. He refused to go beat the kever. He said, how can I go beat my father's kever? What a chutzpah. And Rav Bina said, Amar lahu kulo nechsei dahai. All of the possessions belong to this one child who didn't go to beat his father's kever. So Rav Lopian writes, a remarkable Gemara, Rav Eliyahu Lopian writes, in his Maamar al Amunah, he writes that you see from here an amazing thing. He said that the Amunah and the knowledge that this is my father, this is my father, that he was never told, he didn't know. His father never disclosed to him that he was the real son. His mother never disclosed that he was the real son. But the feeling, this overwhelming feeling of this is my father, makes it impossible. Even in a time of tremendous dochak, he doesn't say it exactly in this way, Rafael, he doesn't say it in terms of Bein HaMitzarim, but in this time of considerable dochak, when all the children are you know, fighting over this little inheritance, and each one is trying to grab a little piece of whatever's left over in this time of tremendous tzara, their father leaving the world, only the son who doesn't beat his father's kever, only the son who says, I'll never turn my back, or I'll never turn a stick against my father, is the one who really be'etzem knows deep inside that his father is really his father. And this is how Rav Bana knew which was the true son. And this is the test for us. The test for us during the Bein HaMitzarim, Kol Rodfei Yisiguah Bein HaMitzarim, is that when we're being chased, and when we're suffering, And when we're, as we're the same time that we're storming the heavens with our words, we have to make sure that we understand that the way we do it is not chas v'shalom a chutzpah of beating our father's kever, not chas v'shalom a person's coming to Hashem and slamming on top of the on top of what seems to be a chorban, seems to be a terrible destruction that's taking place amongst his people. We have to know that throughout all of that difficulty, we are his children, and that knowledge itself entitles us to all the nechassim, entitles us to all of the spiritual and physical bounty that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has in store for us. What does this have to do with the Parsha? So it has everything to do with the Parsha. The Parsha is called Parshas Maaseh. Maaseh includes the 42 travels, the Membeis Masaos, of the Jewish people throughout the Golos. Parshas Maaseh, the Svarim say, is all about the travels throughout our entire, the four exiles of the Jewish people. The 42 travels in the Midbar are different stops along a person's travels throughout this world, as the Degel Machane Ephraim points out so profoundly, in the bold italics. The Degel Machane Ephraim writes, Achda Shishamati V'Shem Avi Adoni Zekeni Baal Shem Tov. I heard from the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh, Ki Kol HaMasos Hayu Membeis, that all of the journeys that the Jewish people took were 42 journeys. 42 journeys that the Jewish people took throughout the desert. V'heim Eitzel Kol Adam Yom Holdo Ad Shebo El Olamo. The Baal Shem Tov in classic form, who understood that every single mitzvah, and this is something that we have to understand more and more as time is going on and people are less knowledgeable about this and are more confused about this, that every single mitzvah at every single time, every single second in time, applies to every single Jew, man, woman, and child. So that when people think that somehow the mitzvah of tefillin doesn't apply to women, they're absolutely incorrect. And when people think that the mitzvah of tefillin doesn't apply to men right now, in the middle of the night, they're absolutely incorrect. And when people think that the mitzvah of placing a king over the Jewish people doesn't apply right now because we don't have the means of having a Sanhedrin or Nevu, it's absolutely incorrect. The Baal Shem Tov, one of the major themes that the Baal Shem Tov has in his Svarim is that every single mitzvah, whether you own a donkey or you don't own a donkey, whether you own land or you don't own land, whether you live in Eretz Yisrael or you don't live in Eretz Yisrael, whether you have a house or you're homeless, the mitzvahs of mezuzah and truma and peya and pidyon chamor and all of those mitzvahs apply to a person regardless. You just have to know how to apply it to your life at this at any given moment. And therefore, this story of the 42 travels of the Jewish people. When my wife and I moved from Teaneck to Woodmere, I said a tefillah as we were packing up the moving truck. I said, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Yehi Ratzon, that this move, this one move that we're moving as a married couple, our first move from Teaneck to Woodmere, that was our first move together in America. I said, it should be Ola in your eyes, like this one move is Ki'ilu, all the 42 Masos that we have to have in the Midbar before we get to Eretz Yisrael. V'kachave, Baruch Hashem, v'zilcha, we stayed in that apartment, and a few years later we moved to Eretz Yisrael. But the 42 travels are travels that a person goes throughout their whole life. On one level, it's the travels of a Jew who's born in exile getting to Eretz Yisrael. But on another level, even Jews are in Eretz Yisrael. So that was the 42 travels, or that was my tefillah for the 42 travels of Galus getting to Geula. But the truth is that those 42 travels aren't over. The 42 travels are having a child and dealing with the hardships of raising a child and you know, everything that goes on in your life are different stops along the way. And sometimes the stops are longer, and sometimes the stops are shorter, just like in the Midbar. But the main thing is, like we say all the time, when the Torah gets raised up, when we look at the Torah and we say that we were that all of our travels were al pi Hashem b'yad Moshe, that all of the travels of the 42 journeys, we stopped, we started, all of it was because the Kodesh Baruch Hu said stop here. And yes, in the Midbar, I'm not trying to wipe the slate clean, even though we have no hasaga at all of what the sins are of the Dor HaMidbar. But yes, we had difficulties, and yes, we slipped up along the way, and yes, it was an incubator period where we were just learning how to walk, learning how to crawl as a people, as a nation. But all along the way, there was a certain sense of trust that we had. HaKadosh Baruch Hu told us, get up and go. We went up. and we got up and we left. And even though sometimes it was difficult, and even though sometimes we just settled down the day before, and now already we're getting up and we're moving again, very much like the Jewish people's experience from Spain to Germany to America to Eretz Yisrael, everywhere in between, being kicked out and running all over the place, our travels with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, our living with HaKadosh Baruch Hu in that way, of trusting Hashem, is the very fabric into which our relationship with Hashem is woven. Our refusal to beat the kever of our father is exactly what makes us ro'oy, and what makes us the sole yorshim, the sole inheritors of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's, of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's blessings, which we'll get at the end of days. So I want to, just because I'm going to run out of steam soon, I can feel my voice is already starting to give, but just for a few more minutes to read together one other piece, which is Nogea to the Parsha, specifically to the Haftorah. In this week's Haftorah, we're going to read from Sefer Yirmiyahu, and we're going to read the following Pasuk, but I want to explain this Pasuk al pi mashal from the Dubner Magid. The Dubner Magid is famous for his mashal, and the Kotzker Rebbe said about this mashal, the Dubner Magid was a contemporary of the Vilna Gaon. So you do different conversations between the Vilna Gaon and the Dubner Magid. The Vilna Gaon once asked the Dubner Magid to give him Musar. That would be a frightful task, I think, for anybody. So there's a famous story that came out from that for another time. But the Kotzker Rebbe said about this mashal from the Dubner Magid, which was not from a Hasidic source, but we don't discriminate here. We love all Torah, as we've mentioned many times. So the Kotzker Rebbe said that this Torah from the Dubner Magid hit the bullseye. This is the inyan of what is going on at Bifrat at this time, but Bifrat Shiva Bifrat at this time in the history of the world. The Pasuk says in Yirmiyahu, the Navi is helping us to hear the words of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that Hashem is complaining through the mouth of Yirmiyahu HaNavi to the Jewish people. Ha'hemer goy elokim ve'hema lo elokim ve'hema lo, I'm sorry. Ha'hemer goy elokim ve'hema lo elohim ve'amir himir kvodo ve'lo yo'il. The nations of the world, ha'hemer goy elohim, the nations of the world exchange their gods. They exchange their gods, right? As was very common, the Mefarshei Hapshat, and Yirmiyahu all the time is explaining how the common practice in wartime amongst the nations of the world was, you know, okay, you worship Baal, okay, you worship Zeus or whatever, so we'll fight. And if the Baal team wins, so then everybody will worship Baal, and then, you know, a few years later, I don't know, Mercury will win. And then they'll all worship Mercury. And it was very common, people would just very quickly switch teams, and they would worship the god who was ever, you know, in the spirit of the times, and that was the way that it went. So HaKadosh Baruch was saying, Ha'hemer goy Elohim ve'hem alo Elohim. Do you find Va'ami hemer kvodo b'lo yo'il? So HaKadosh Baruch was saying, but look, and you'll recognize that there are certain nations, Ha'hemer goy Elohim ve'hem alo Elohim. Do you find that the nations that are surrounding you, Jewish people, are so quick to give up their gods? Meaning, yeah, so like, when the war happens, they'll give up their god, but then they'll come back to it. And do you find that the nations of the world around you are so quick to exchange their gods? So, sometimes they do, yeah, it's true. But their gods are not gods. And yet they still stand strong, they still cling to their guns until the last minute when they're totally defeated. And when they're totally defeated, okay, yeah, eventually they give up. But you, the Ami, my nation, Hemir Kvoto below Yo'il, you very quickly trade me up without, you're not helping yourself. It doesn't help you in any way. Their gods are not gods. I'm the true God, and you're so quick to give me up, even before you lose. You're quick to give me up. They at least wait until the war is over. So the Dubner Magid, in classic fashion, gives us a beautiful mashal to help us understand, somewhat humorous, but very insightful. Says the Dubner Magid in Sefer Kochav Yaakov, which is a mashalim connected to the Haftoros. Chasen Tzir Liyamim, Hayasamach Al Shulchan Chosno, Shonim Achados, liyamim amar lo chosno ki yigia hazman shiyatza la'avod lefarnes es atzmo b'chavod. That time comes in any relationship, no matter how nice your father-in-law is, if they're supporting you. Time came for this young chassan who was being supported by his father-in-law. For some time, he was being supported by the table of his father-in-law, so to speak. So his father-in-law said to him, you know, I think the time has come for you to earn a living of your own, but I'm not going to throw you out high and dry. Here, I'm going to invest in you. So he gave him a considerable sum of money, and he told him, I want you to go and get prices for merchandise, so go to the fair, and get some prices, buy some merchandise, and we'll start a little business for you. He gave him an advanced loan of a considerable amount of money. The Shokhuli Rid, and he sent him to the local fair, to the local marketplace, Beer Leipzig, in the town of Leipzig, which is where apparently they always used to have marketplaces. There you could buy a lot of merchandise very cheap. You'll be able to come back with that merchandise to your town, and you'll be able to sell it for more expensive because you could buy it. It's like Leipzig was like the ancient Costco. It was the Costco of Eastern Europe. Hachasan Seir Haya Batlan Ubishmazal. But this Chasan was a bit of a Batlan. He didn't have such a good business sense, and he didn't have such good mazel either. Nasalirid, he traveled to the fair. Bechazer Mispar Kronos Rachavos Maleos Bekisamim Leshinayim. And he came back with thousands and thousands and thousands of cartons, truckloads, filled with Kisamim Leshinayim, toothpicks. The guy came back with thousands and thousands, hundreds of thousands of toothpicks. Kishehevi es aschor lechosno, when he came back with this schora, with this good merchandise to his father-in-law, kidmo alo bekol zava, and he called him Shlomil. He said, Shlomil shekamoscha, who ever thought of such a foolish person? You bought hundreds of thousands of toothpicks? How are we going to sell this? Schorazu lo timkor b'meshach shanim robos. You won't even be able to sell this until Mashiach comes. Mi yikna kol kach harbe kisamim l'shinayim. Who's going to buy so many toothpicks? B'leis blira, hichzer es chosno, bish mazel, lios somach al shulchano. So what happened? So this young man continued to suffice himself on his father-in-law's table, and they put the schora into some machzan. They put it in one of his warehouses. After a number of more years passed, and the Hossein father-in-law was getting tired again of his Batlan son-in-law, what's going to be in the end of my, okay, you know, he's a Rachmanos, and I have to, but what's going to happen after I die? Who's going to take care of him? I got to teach this guy how to take care of, who's going to take care of my daughter? Is he forever going to be by my table? Chazir v'kar l'chosof, he called his son-in-law again. V'nasna l'shuv schum kesef gadol b'mezuman, he gave him a check, extradited the money to him. V'sholch l'iridi sent him to the fair again. Achapam izhiru l'bal yikna schor she'in lo bikush. Don't buy something which is so silly that nobody's going to want to buy it, that has no bikush, and it's no demand. Shama achasam v'nasna shuv l'irid. So he said, okay, this time I'll be vigilant to make sure I get something which is in demand. Hayomim hayu avar v'hayom naran. He said, it's around the times of the Yom Naran. Nimlach achasan b'libo v'kana mata'an shel shofros. So he bought a whole ton, he bought an entire cart worth of shofros, of ram's horns. B'savru ki zeu mitzrech chosni, sorry, chiyuni. L'yomim, this is something which is vital to these days. V'kach yarviach revach noe. And now I'll be able to get a sizable sum for this investment of the shofros. He couldn't even contain himself from his anger. Batlan shekamoscha, you fool! Haloas shofros shekanisa yaspiko afilu shofros shel Mashiach. You bought so many shofros. These shofros will be able. Mashiach will be able to buy shofros from you because you have so much. Who needs so many shofars? Don't you know that you only buy a shofar one time in your life and you have that shofar for your whole life? Nobody's going to buy. It's not like you have to buy a different shofar every single year. Every family buys one shofar, maybe per family. Maybe one kehila buys a shofar. You're an idiot. What are you doing? So, Belais Brira, again, they put the schora in the machzan, and what's he going to do? Bo Bizman Panal le misvach nosaf beitzia limkor lo as hamatan hashofros sheetzlo ola amir lekol schorshi. So finally, this guy said, "Forget my son-in-law. He's a dope." He got one of his trusted business partners, and he said, "Listen, I have this, like, I have tons of junk merchandise. Could you, like, go and just trade it for anything? I know no one's going to buy it, but trade it for something that we might be able to at least sell in the marketplace. Just get rid of these shofros." And what happened? Then another guy came, another one of his trusted, and he says, "Listen, go, see these toothpicks over here? Could you do me a favor? Get rid of these toothpicks. Go trade it for whatever you, anybody you find, any guy who's going to trade you anything, take the toothpicks and go trade it for something else." So the two of them leave, and they come back a few weeks later, and they're all excited. Baruch Hashem, each one of them found a person who was willing to trade for toothpicks. Who's going to buy thousands and thousands of toothpicks? So they both come in running into this guy on the same day at different times, and each one of them is saying, "You'll never believe it, I found some dope. He was willing to trade all these toothpicks for a whole, you know, basket full of shofros." And the guy with the shofros comes in and says, "You'll never believe it, I found this guy. He was willing to trade for hundreds of thousands of toothpicks. So at least maybe, I don't know, maybe we'll find someone making a cocktail party and they're having like little fruit and you put the toothpicks in." So Baruch Hashem. And the son, the chassan, is sitting there and he says, See, Shmer, see Tati, I'm not such a dope. These guys also thought that it was good to, you know, to exchange, to get their hands on some shofros or get their hands on some toothpicks or whatever." So the father-in-law had it with his son. And he said, "You idiot." He said, "You fool. They had bum schora. They had bad goods. So what did you expect? Of course they traded whatever they could get their hands on. So he traded garbage for garbage. But you, I gave you something real. I gave you something that was etzem real. I gave you money, cash, which you could have used to buy anything in the world. And you, like a fool, went and bought garbage." So the Dubner Magid said, this is what Yirmiyahu was saying. Yirmiyahu was saying that, yes, in a chanami, the nations of the world, they trade up garbage for garbage. This one has a basket full of shofars that nobody could use, and this one has thousands of toothpicks that nobody could use. And when push comes to shove, they hold fast to their idiocies, to their hevel. They hold on to their shofars for dear life. But when they lose in the war, they finally give it up and they trade hevel for hevel. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, "But I am giving you a relationship with me, something which is so profound, so real, so life-altering, so life-forming, so life-affirming, that if you wouldn't be such a fool to give that up, just because you're going through a little bit of a hardship. You didn't even lose the battle yet. We just got knocked down. Okay, so we got a little bloodied. Okay, so a few a few bricks off of a very, very important building that we cry over bitterly. But Am Yisrael is still here. And yet, we're going to throw it all away. We're going to throw away the cash that HaKadosh Baruch Hu invested in us, that Hashem gave us, Achilek Elokam Yimal, that He made us His Am Segula, that He made us Amamlechas Kohan V'Goy Kadosh, and we're going to throw all of that away for some toothpicks and for some shofros that nobody could use." This is the challenge of the end of days. When we feel like everything is falling apart, when the world is burning and is collapsing all around us, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu expects us to hold fast to the goods that He gave us, and not to trade it in for something foolish, and to throw it away at the end. They say that the tzaddikim by Shal Shudas would say over from the Noam Elimelech, from the Rishner also, they say it, that at the end of days, the Yitzhar is going to be like a person who's holding onto a rope, and that rope is tied from one end of the world to the next end of the world, and the Yitzhar is standing, and he's shaking the rope as hard as he can, up and down, making waves, and making people crazy. And they used to say, the tzaddikim would say, that only someone who holds on for dear life, only somebody who holds on for dear life and grasps with their blood, sweat, and tears onto that rope, will be able to make it to the end. It won't fall off at the end of the days. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu should help us. We're going through some difficult journeys right now as a people, maybe as individuals, familially, personally, communally, nationally, cosmically. We're going through very, very difficult times. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu expects us to hold on to the rope, not for his sake, but for our sake. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is telling us, it's Beinu Meitzarim right now, it's in a time of constriction, but when there's constriction, so there's an opportunity. Anybody who chases after Hashem during this time period, and who trusts in HaKadosh Baruch Hu that He's leading us in a good way, and refuses, chas v'chalila, to hit the kever of our father, so then, we'll be zocha to the bracha of Rav Bina, that he said, kulu nischei lahadai, that all the nechasim, all nechasim lahadai, all of the nechasim belong to these people, all of the nechasim belong to the Jewish people, which we'll be zocha to see the schora, a good schora, not a schora of toothpicks, not a schora of baskets of shofros, but a schora of Divrei Elokim Chaim, of a living God, with the B'yas Kol Tzedek Meher Minu. Amen. Amen.